Well, this morning we were in the book of Acts chapter 8, and tonight we're going to the back of the book of Acts chapter 28. On Wednesday nights we've been looking at a series entitled Paul's Final Journey to Rome, and tonight we are going to include one of the lessons during our Sunday PM service. So if you've been with us on Wednesday night, you'll know where we are at, and if you haven't, then make sure you listen carefully, because we're halfway through the Apostle Paul's journey in Acts chapter number 28. Acts chapter 28. Let's look at a few verses to begin with, and then we'll ask for the Lord's help in prayer. Acts chapter 28, and notice verse number 1 and 2. Acts chapter 28 and verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for, Lord, this evening that we can look into these truths. And Lord, we do pray, as we've sung, that the Holy Spirit of God, he would speak to us and lead us into truth. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would teach us some important lessons from the example in the life of the Apostle Paul. And we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in our midst. Lord, we thank you for those who have gone before us, whom you used and worked through and that we can learn from. And Lord, we pray you'd bless your word tonight. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. 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 Well, those of you who are not present on Wednesday night, we've been going through from Acts 27 onwards, and now we're in Acts chapter 28. And we remember that during the journey to Rome, the Lord providentially put Paul on a prison boat. Remember, God had promised him that he'll get to Rome, but he didn't know how he would get there. He ended up in Jerusalem. His life was in grave danger. And the Lord gave Paul wisdom to declare that he's a citizen of Rome. And so he had the right to an official hearing. Through those channels, his life was protected from the Jews, who continually tried to kill him. And then the Lord enabled Paul to say, well, I want to plead my case before Caesar. Therefore, suddenly and miraculously, God had opened the doors for Paul to have a first class ticket on his own boat to Rome. Now, obviously, it's not what he expected to go as a prisoner, but in that very miraculous and unique way, God enabled Paul to get to Rome. God had protected the Apostle Paul. And he ended up on a ship that was headed smack bang into a storm. The Bible tells us that it was no ordinary storm. It was a tempest or a typhoon. It was a huge storm. It was what we would call cyclone season in the Mediterranean. And foolishly, the captain of the ship and the centurion didn't listen to Paul. They launched out into the open ocean and they were in big, big trouble. That's what we looked at on Wednesday night. We remembered how the prisoners, some of the soldiers wanted to escape. The prisoners were hungry, and Paul warned them that God had told them, stay in the ship. And if you stay in the ship, God has promised that we'll all be protected. No one will die. Not one soul physically would be lost. And they listened to Paul this time, thankfully. And there they were in the ship. The Bible tells us at the end of chapter 27, after they ate, that's where we left off on Wednesday night, and we were all in all the ship, 216 souls. As we read through these verses, the Bible says that as they navigated the ship closer to an island, they pretty much sailed straight into a channel, and that's where the ship got stuck. And because of the ferocity of the waves began to beat on top of the back of the ship, and the ship began to break up. So the Bible tells us in verse number 42, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. So he was God's miraculous answer to prayer. He was God's miraculous intervention. Just as God had promised, everyone was safe and sound on the island of Melita, which we know as the island of Malta. And they were escaped, verse number one, and they knew that the island was Melita. And this evening we're going to look at how the Apostle Paul continued to serve the Lord on the island. Now, I don't know about you, after such an experience and such an overwhelming time in the storm, you and I would be glad to be alive and would be happy just to lie down and do nothing for a little while and maybe get some rest, maybe allow some of the people, the locals, to serve you. And that's what took place here in verse number 2. In verse number 2, they're described as the barbarous people. Why? Because they were not Jews, but they were not Greeks either. That doesn't mean that they were wild people, barbarians, but they were a specific people from the island of Melita, and they were kind to them. Notice in verse 2, they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. Remember, it wasn't a nice day. It was bucketing down rain. Think of a cyclone, bucketing down rain. It was freezing cold. And it was a miserable day, miserable conditions. The ship had just broken apart and they came out of a hopeless situation. And the Bible tells us, notice what Paul did in verse 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. So here's a lesson for us. After the storm had calmed down and it was still cold, they were all wet. The islanders prepared a fire to warm them, to help them, to be a blessing to them. And Paul could have just so easily sat down by the fire and warmed himself. Would you agree? He could have sat down and said, thank you. All right, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to get comfortable. I'm going to rest a little bit and warm myself by the fire. But the Lord gives us some details here about the Apostle Paul to encourage us in our Christian walk. You see, Paul decided, well, you know, I want to be a blessing too. And so what he did, he went to get some wood, he put it on the fire, and he helped keep the fire going. And the first lesson that I'd like us to see tonight is that Paul lent a helping hand, didn't he? He lent a helping hand. He didn't just sit back and watch others do the work. No, he wanted to be a blessing. Because Paul understood something very important about the Christian life. You remember, as the Lord was teaching his apostles and the two sons of thunder, John and James, they'd asked their mother. In fact, they didn't ask the Lord. They got their mother to ask the Lord, can you please give my sons the right hand and the left hand position next to your throne in glory? Can you please grant them that? And the Lord went on to teach his disciples a very important lesson that in the world, those who exercise authority, lordship over others, their example is not what I want you to follow. If anyone is going to be the greatest among you, let him be your servant. Let him be a servant. And he was teaching his apostles that I don't want you to be puffed up with pride and seek the greatest positions in life. I want you to be a servant, a servant. And that's what the Apostle Paul knew could help strengthen his testimony as a witness for the Lord. You see, Paul had worked it out that, you know, he could, if he wanted to, gain a position of power. But instead, he decided to be a servant leader rather than a proud leader. Now, think about the situation for a moment. At the end of the day, when it came to this disastrous outcome, the boat falling apart, everyone's lives almost lost, who was right and who was wrong? Who was right? Paul. He was right from the beginning. He warned them not to sail into the storm. They rejected his advice. Finally, they listened to him. And now Paul was in a position of power. He could have sat back and done nothing. and said, hey, you guys have me to thank. Now you get to work and you start serving me. In fact, you can call me the first pope of the island of Malta. I'll be your pope and you can be my servants. You're the laity and I'm the divine one that you are to worship. No, Paul didn't do that, did he? He didn't sit there either. No, Paul got busy helping. You know, just doing something little, being a blessing, not just sitting there, but taking the opportunity to lend a helping hand. And the Lord Jesus said to his apostles, and he says the same thing to us today, if we are going to be an influence for the Lord, we need to be servant leaders, not the power hungry, pleasure satisfying, popular leadership of the world today. You know, the world says if you're going to be an influence, then you need to step on people and rise to the top. And that way you can influence others. And that's what people do in the world. They seek the top positions. They cheat others out of them. They behave foolishly, greedily to get to the top. And that's what they think will give them power. But the Lord Jesus said no. He said, I will use you in a great way as believers if you seek to be like me as a servant. And that's the greatest influence that we can be, is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Notice Philippians chapter number 2. There in your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians. Let's have a look what the Bible says about Christ. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Why don't we read verse 7 together out loud? Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 7, on 2. 1, 2. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Notice the Lord Jesus Christ is described here as one who made himself of no reputation. Now he is the one that we are to be like. Christ is our goal. We are to be like little Christ. We are to become of no reputation. If we humble ourselves as the Lord did, we are able to be a greater influence than if we lifted ourselves up. You see, pride, well, the Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So the Lord's example, of course, is the greatest one. And verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. If there was anyone who ever deserved the honor, the glory and the power on earth, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But he laid aside his divine reputation to take upon himself the form of a servant. And the following verses we read in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the Apostle Paul, having written the book of Philippians, he knew what it meant to be a servant. And that's simply what he was doing. Being a servant to others, lending a helping hand. If there was anyone that deserved to sit there and be served, it was Paul. He earned the right. He saved the ship, if you will, on a human level. But he decided to be a blessing. And let me encourage you this evening to be a blessing wherever God has put you. Be a blessing in your workplaces. Be a blessing in your schools, young people. Be a blessing among the community God has put you in. You know, the attitude of today is just to be like everyone else. You know, hey, why should I do something if they're not doing anything? You know, that's often the attitude. Sometimes as Christians, we take that attitude on ourselves. Well, look, if they're not doing anything, I'm not going to do anything either. Well, that's not the attitude God wants us to have as Christians. Let me encourage you that being a servant adds weight to your witness. Amen. Being a servant, being willing to serve, going the second mile allows you to have a wonderful testimony. Notice Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Better than themselves. So here we see God's work. God always gets his work done with willing servants who are just average people, but are willing to serve the Lord, willing to be a blessing. Well, that's Paul's helping hand. And that certainly allowed him to be a blessing and a greater witness as he continued to serve the Lord in Malta. Now, turn with me back to Acts chapter 28. But an interesting turn of events takes place. Now, remember, Paul's seeking to be a blessing. He's doing something good. He's doing something right. He's not boasting. He's not proud. He hasn't lifted himself up. And suddenly the Bible tells us in verse 3 of Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28 and verse 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. So there was Paul doing something right, doing something good. And then suddenly something goes wrong. A snake leaps out of the fire. Probably it was hiding in the bundle of sticks that he just placed upon the fire. And he didn't know it, obviously. And it leapt up and bit him on the hand. So we saw Paul's helping hand. Secondly, notice Paul's bitten hand. Paul's bitten hand. Now, have you ever done something good, sought to be a blessing, and it backfired? Has that ever happened before? You wanted to be a blessing, and it didn't work out well. And you think to yourself, what did I do wrong? What happened? And brethren, we need to understand that the Christian life is not a walk in the park. We're not going along a little stroll through paradise right now in order to get to eternity. No, we are in a spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual battle. When we seek to be a witness for the Lord and do something good and right and serve Him, we have to realize that not everything will go right. Friends, we have an enemy. And the enemy is the devil himself. The enemy is the world, and the enemy is also our sinful flesh within us. We are in a spiritual battle. And we need to understand that sometimes things will go wrong. Even when your intentions are right, even when you go out of your way and go the second mile, sometimes it won't turn out the way you had hoped. It won't. You may not be the blessing that you had hoped to be. And we need to guard our hearts against our emotions running wild and being let loose. Have you ever said to yourself, man, that didn't work. I'm never going to do anything good again. If that's how it's going to turn out. And brethren, we are in a spiritual warfare. We have to guard our emotions. We have to guard our heart. Now, Paul, as we see, he didn't react in any way, not that we are told of. But sadly, things got a lot worse for Paul, for the poor apostle Paul. And notice what we read of in verse number 4. Now, it would be bad enough to get bitten by a snake suddenly when he was trying to do something to be a blessing. Verse 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. So, there's Paul, bitten by a snake. If that's not bad enough already, suddenly as he has a whole host of critics around him saying, hey, I know why this happened to Paul. He must be a wicked murderer. And though he escaped the sea, the God of the universe is not going to let him loose. He's going to get back at him. You see, these barbarous people were pagans. I don't know what kind of God they believed in, but they obviously believed in a sense of karma, is what those cultists will say. And you know, they believed that that justice was like a god. You know, whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap, perhaps. And Paul was simply getting what he deserved. So we know that's wrong. We know that's not true. We know that Paul was in shock, perhaps. And what he did not need is the criticism that came his way. So here was Paul, lending a helping hand. And as soon as something goes wrong, he's criticized. He's misunderstood. He's looked down on by those who he's trying to help. So here's a lesson for us once again. Paul's helping hand and Paul's bitten hand. You know, sometimes the hand you use to help, sometimes it gets bitten. Let's be honest. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. And we need to guard our hearts. You know, at the end of the day, who is it that we're serving? Who is it that we're serving? We're serving the Lord. That's right. We are to make ourselves of no reputation to be like Christ in order to serve Christ. And yes, that includes serving others. But when others start criticizing us or something happens and it doesn't work out, the blessing we're trying to be, we need to be sincere before the Lord and guard our hearts and to understand that sometimes things will go wrong. Amen. Amen. It's not the time to give up. It's not the time to have a pity party and throw ourselves on top of the fire and say, that's it. I've had enough. I'm ending this thing. You know, I'm giving up on the Christian life. We have to prepare. There will be times where our good intentions will be spoken evil of. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, again, is the greatest example in that area as well. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and they nailed him to the cross. They nailed him to the cross. Can you see this evening that Christ is our example? He's our example in service. He's also our example when it comes to being misunderstood. Being misunderstood. Look, if you've been a Christian for very long and you haven't been misunderstood, you know, buckle up, put your seatbelts on. It's going to happen. We will all be misunderstood at times for our good intentions. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we need to be sober-minded. We need to say, all right, Lord, you knew my intentions. Lord, I can learn from this, but at the end of the day, you know, I need to guard my heart against the criticism of others. The fact of the matter is, when others misunderstand you, it is an opportunity for the devil to drag you down, to discourage you. You know, how could they think that of me? You know, I mean, I'm the one that saved the ship, the Apostle Paul would have said. You know, don't they realize, these barbarous people, that it's because of me? You know, he could have justified himself. He could have sought to defend himself. He didn't do that. He could have sought to lift himself up. He could have criticized them back. He could have said, watch this, I'm not going to die, and fling it over to them. Throw the snake in their face. Get a bit aggro and angry. No, he didn't do that either. Paul wasn't in the flesh. Amen. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what happened when he was criticized? I believe the Apostle Paul said in his heart, that's okay. The Lord is in control. The Lord knows my heart. And he knows I may not be perfect, but I'm sincere before the Lord. Brethren, we need to watch out. We need to be careful, because there will be times where we'll be attacked, we'll be criticized, we'll be thought evil of for our good intentions. And that's a part of the Christian life. God is still in control. Amen. God is still in control. And don't miss this. As Paul was facing the criticism, the whisperings that was going on around the campfire, as he was listening in, people were still watching him. They were still watching him. Their eyes, in fact, were glued to the Apostle Paul. So here was an opportunity to not only be a good testimony by lending a helping hand, but to be a greater testimony as he showed a measure of Christ's likeness when his hand was bitten, when he was suffering, when he was struggling. It was a greater opportunity to be an influence for Christ. Notice what happened in verse number 5. The Bible says, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. So how did the Apostle Paul react? He shook it off, to put it in a few words, and he felt no harm. Now, obviously, this was a miracle of the Lord. Now, remember, in the book of Acts, God used sign miracles in order to confirm the word of God by the messengers of God. So God was using this opportunity to perform a miracle. But the little lesson for us is, let's not expect to be bitten by a snake and everything is okay. If you're bitten by a snake, better get to the hospital quick. And God's time of signs and visions is over. But But the reality is what happened to Paul was that he was trusting in the Lord. He was trusting that, look, even this criticism God will use for His glory. Even this bite, even this discomfort, this unexpected event that has happened, though I was trying to do good, it suddenly seems to turn around for evil. But even that, God can turn back around for good. Amen? God is able to do that. He's in control. So Paul didn't react in the flesh. Paul didn't get upset. And they saw his faith in action as he responded. And let's make sure that people don't see our fear and frustration and foolishness when we are criticized. May they see our faith. Amen. May we be like the Lord, that when we are reviled, we revile not again. Amen. That's what it means to be Christ-like. And now we know that God was in control. Look at verse 6. Howbeit, when they looked, when he should have swollen, so they were looking for the effects of the snake bite, or fallen down dead, and they assumed he was going to die suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. And foolishly, they said he was a god. They lifted him up as a god. Now, that wasn't God's plan, but notice that they were looking at him. They were still staring at him. See, people staring at him, people are watching us all the time. And when we are criticized, that is an opportunity to show greater Christ-likeness. It's not the end of the world. We can respond in the Spirit. We can show graciousness. We can show a measure of faith in God. You know, if you're bitten by a snake, I dare say many of us would fall down screaming. It's the end of the world. You know, what's going to happen to me? It would be a frightening thing. Absolutely. I include myself in that. But is God in control? Yes or no? Can we show a measure of, all right, well, the Lord knew this was going to happen. Let's trust the Lord and let's do what needs to be done and have some faith in God. Amen. So far, so often we have so little faith. When something negative happens to us, our world falls apart. You know, God is an expert of bursting our comfort zone in order to encourage us to trust in Him more. So Paul was being a wonderful testimony by his helping hand, by his bitten hand. And let me say that, you know, when something does go wrong, it doesn't mean we'll be free from panic. It doesn't mean we'll be free from discouragement. It doesn't mean we'll be free from criticism, but we can overcome those things by faith. Amen? Amen? Our faith overcomes the world. Paul shook it off, and there's a wonderful picture of faith in action. Paul just shook it off. That's all right. God is in control. And that's the kind of faith we need to have. Amen. When something goes wrong, when we're criticized, we need to cast our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. We need to realize that we can cast those cares, literally shake them off, cast them out like a line, like a fishing line, cast them out completely into the Lord's hands. Why? Because He cares for us. Wonderful truths for us. Shake it off. And after they looked a great while, they were still looking at Him, they realized that they were wrong. Isn't that true? They realized they were wrong. You know, the Bible says if an enemy criticizes you, if they're hurtful against you, well, don't give them back evil for evil. Amen? Don't give them back evil for evil. And they will suddenly change their minds as they see your good testimony in Christ. Well, a wonderful blessing that resulted. Notice verse number 7. And in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. So here's a turn of events. You know, there they were on a cold beach in a storm. It was raining. They were cold. And certainly Paul was having a rough time. You know, he wanted to be a blessing. He wanted to help. And there he was on the beach and things didn't go right. And he was trusting the Lord. And because he was a wonderful example, in the end, the blessing was revealed. In the end, there was a blessed result. The Bible says that the political head of the island, we could call him the prime minister, lived nearby. And when he heard what had happened, he invited Paul, remember his two other friends, the companions on the journey, Paul, Luke and Aristarchus, they were all invited to stay in his home. Amen. Brethren, God will bless you when we do right. God will bless us. We need to believe that. In Acts chapter 28, we see that Paul could have packed it in. He could have said, look, the storm was enough. I got through that. And now a snake's bitten me. People are criticizing me. That's it. I'm done. And he could have made a runner for it. No, he didn't. And God blessed him. God certainly blessed the Apostle Paul. Well, we've seen Paul's helping hand, Paul's bitten hand, and notice thirdly, Paul's healing hand. Paul's healing hand. Look with me in Acts chapter 28 and verse number 8. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honoured us with many honours, and when we were departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. The Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul used the miraculous sign gifts that God had given him to heal not only the Bible says, the father of this governor on the island, and Paul healed him and others that came to him. So he was able to be a much greater witness. Can you see how Paul's witness progressed as he served the Lord? As he was humble, what happened? God exalts the humble. God uses the humble. God gives the humble more opportunities to witness. And that's what happened to Paul. Suddenly he was in a position of influence, not because he lifted himself up, but because he was a servant. And God blessed him and God used him. Suddenly people were being miraculously healed. Now remember, sign healings, people being physically healed, that's a part of the book of Acts. It ended with the completion of the Bible. Sign gifts were signs to confirm the word of God. Sign gifts were signs for a limited time. They are not around today. If someone says, hey, come to my house, come to my church for physical healing, they're making it up. Now, the devil can perform miracles. The devil is able to deceive. And this was a specific healing miracle during the book of Acts, during this specific time. But the point for us tonight is to see how God used the Apostle Paul. Used him to be a blessing. His helping hand became a bitten hand and then ended up being a healing hand. And no doubt, as Paul healed, he preached the gospel. For that's what those sign gifts were all about. Signs confirming his word. Signs confirming his word. So as the Apostle Paul witnessed, God opened greater opportunities, and they had a 3-month window on this island, unexpectedly, in the will of God, where people, well, where Paul didn't have to go out to find people. What does the Bible say? They came to him. They came to him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that miraculous? They came to Paul, and Paul and his companions were honored. They were given shelter. They were given food. And when they left, they were given provisions for the rest of their journey. Can you see how God wonderfully turned these events around? How God worked a miracle. What's the lesson for us tonight? Well, let's watch our example as Christians. Let's be servants like the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go out of our way to be a blessing and it doesn't work out and we may be criticized, let's guard our hearts and trust that the Lord is in control. Let's trust him and say, Lord, I wanted to serve you, and you know my heart. And though it may not have turned out, although people may be criticizing me, that's all right, Lord. I will remain humble before you. I've got nothing to prove. I'm not going to lift myself up, justify myself. And Lord, I'll trust you to turn this around for your glory and allow God to help us to be a greater influence for him. People are watching. They were watching Paul and they're watching us. Now we take God's word and hide it in our hearts this evening for this week of witnessing for his glory.